those of you who were in the prayer meeting that we had in the tent, the haystack prayer meeting, I want you to know that I went in there apprehensive about tonight, about this week, about the decisions that we're convinced that God has had us to make. And I thought about all the years that we've served, now 40 years on the mission field, and change is always difficult. And yet, I realize that what we're doing is well within the exact and perfect will of God. And Bill, I would like for you to sit right over here in that empty chair, and Steve, I would like for you to sit right over there in that empty chair while I preach. By unanimous vote of the executive and advisory committees, I present to you the new president of Mount of Iron Baptist Mission and the new general director of Mount of Iron Baptist Mission. When I go to the Word of God and I think of what He's allowed us to do for these years. Today's, I believe they said, Martin Luther King Day, right? Now, there was a lot of things that he did that I didn't agree with. I didn't agree with his politics. I certainly didn't agree with all of his theology. But he made a speech that became very famous when he said, "I have a dream." I'd like for every missionary in this room to stand. Would you please stand if you're a missionary? Or a pastor, would you please stand? Folks, I want you to look around. If there are any heroes tonight, these are them. These are people that have followed that dream that they had. Some of them are pastors that have helped them to see that dream to fruition. And I want to thank you. This week, to me, is like a family reunion. I plan on having more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Because as soon as... I don't know how much fun a barrel of monkeys has, but I can tell you this. As soon as I get through preaching tonight, I'm going to rear back and enjoy myself the rest of the week. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that there are men here that have served at the hazard of their lives. Marco and Yoli live in Tlapa de Comonfort, Guerrero, which is called, which is listed as lately as January the 14th the report from the State Department report is one of the most dangerous places you can visit in Mexico. And they warn against it. They also warn against visiting Cuernavaca. So we'd like to invite you to come to Mexico to visit Cuernavaca and Tlapa this next summer. And Bill will have brochures telling you all about it. By the way, you're immortal till God's through with you. And we thank you. And let's give these people a big hand. You may be seated. For the first 10 years of our ministry, we grubbed stumps in a very difficult place. First, I tried to learn the language. It's been an ongoing process for the last 40 years, and I still make some rip, snort, and bloopers that most of you wouldn't even catch. You'd think, wow, he's good. Now, if you want to hear somebody that's good, you need to hear my son. We started 10 years after working in Tepoztlán, called the World Center of Satanism. We started a church in Cuernavaca. We had no idea what God was going to do. But when we started the church that became Mount of Iron Baptist Church, Iglesia Bautista Montalbán, when we started it, God chose to bless. I cannot explain all that He did because it's a God thing. When we had our first service in our new building, 9 months after building that building, or while we were 9 months after having our, actually, no, it wasn't 9 months, it was 1 year after we started with my family, our five children, my wife, and one neighbor man in our house. A year later, we had a building and had over 500 for the dedication service. How do you explain that? Well, it certainly wasn't because of me. But our dream was to have a church that would honor God with sound doctrine. To have a church that would be actively involved in every phase of world missions, because at that time, the churches in Mexico did not have missionary outreaches. That's a fact. That was 30 years ago. And then it would be a church that would send missionaries. That it would be a church for not only the poor, but also the wealthy. The educated and the uneducated. And for those of you who have visited the church in Cuernavaca even yet today, that's true. I'm reminded of what's written in the Bible, the rich and the poor sat together and the Lord was the maker of them all. Now, because we did have a diverse cross-section, it allowed us to begin to give heavily to missions from the very first service that we had. In fact, for the first 6 months, we had services. We gave everything to missions. We were meeting in my home, and we really didn't have any extra expenses, so that's what we did. We gave it all to missions. When we organized our first budget, the first line item was missions. Out of that church, and this blows my mind, Bill gave me that report, there have been 125 couples that have gone out all over the world as preachers, church members, and church planters and missionaries out of that one local church. And then they've started churches. Some of the churches they've started are way bigger than the church they came from. I geared my ministry to men. I saw a weakness in Mexican churches, and that was that they would have ladies and they would not have men in the services. And there would not be men in the membership of the church. And so I geared my whole ministry to men. On Saturday nights, all the men in our town would go out and get drunk. That was their recreation. And so I started a Saturday night Bible study for men only. And I taught them the principles of the Word of God and how to have a Christian home and how to walk with God and how to love their children and their wife. We had date nights, because most of the men there would woo their sweetheart until they got married and then forget that she was supposed to stay their sweetheart. I geared it to men. I taught them how to have family devotions. We printed up placemats for them to have every week of the year that would have Bible studies on them that they would use with their family because they didn't know where to start. I believe that it was important for them to have strong homes so that they could have children that would be useful and used in the work of the Lord. And it worked. Shortly after starting that church, I heard Dr. Charles Keene preach. I'd heard him preach before, but he said something in that message he's forgotten about over 30 years ago. He made this statement. He said, "My major task is to build a church worthy of duplication all over the world." And that burned in my heart. Dr. Keene, I sincerely thank you for saying that. It has guided in every decision I've made since then, both in the church, and then when Dr. McCoy went to be with the Lord in heaven as the president of the mission. Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then he tells us in verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Another thing I determined we would do in that church in Mexico is that we would not beg to be able to build buildings. And every missionary has his own way of doing things, but God wouldn't let me. But we prayed, and God supplied every need and went far beyond our fondest dreams. If you were to see those of you who have been to Cuernavaca, if you'd see the buildings today, you wouldn't believe it. They're three times as big as they were the last time we had a conference. And they built it without any debt. Now, I wasn't a pastor, but they did that. They got ready to put in benches. And like every other independent Baptist church, they were broke. So they started praying about it. And we don't have in Mexico the option of going out and borrowing money. Besides that, we didn't want to do it anyway, because if we borrowed it, we knew we wouldn't be able to pay it back. And so they began praying. A lady in our church came to the pastor, Alejandro Ramirez. And she said, Brother Ramirez, my brother is a building contractor in Mexico City, and he has just remodeled the great synagogue of Mexico City. And they have benches that were seldom ever sat in, but they have all this money, and they want to sell their pews. Well, they really weren't pews. They were seats like you'd have in the Bellas Artes. What do you call that? Fine arts building. Beautiful, comfortable chairs. Only place in Mexico you ever sit in a comfortable chair. And so the pastor went up there, and you know, they like $14.37. He looked at them, and the rabbi looked at him and said, well, do you want to buy them? He said, well, how much are they? He said, I'll give you all of them for $100,000. To buy them new would have cost over $1 million. He said, well, thanks, but no thanks. He said, we don't have the money. He said, well, what can you pay? He said, you really don't want me to tell you what we can pay. He said, yeah, tell me what you can pay. And he told them how much money they had. The old rabbi smiled. He said, that's about how much money it would take to load them on a truck and take them to Cuernavaca. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you all of that if you'll have it out in 48 hours and pay for the trucks. And our church has the nicest seats in all of Mexico today. Now, why am I saying that? I've got missionaries here that have so many needs. I've agonized with Ron and Rachel when they prayed for great things and seen God supply great things. I prayed with the Robertsons and with Steve and so many of you. I've prayed, but always remember there is a God in heaven that can meet your every need. Have faith in God, as Dr. Robertson used to always say. Have faith in God. You remember that, Brother Lancaster? I thought that was original from him until I found it written in the Bible. I had a dream. After pastoring that great church, having the privilege of ministering to those great people for many years, Dr. McCoy came to me, said, I want you to become the president of Mount of Iron Baptist Missions. In fact, he so loved the church in Cuernavaca, he renamed the mission. It had been Abiram Evangelistic Association. He renamed it Mount Abiram Baptist
Evangelistic Association in the beginning. And then we changed the mission because of the connotation with the charismatics. But what is a great man? I had the privilege of working with Dr. McCoy for 20 years. He built the strongest foundation any man could ever build to a ministry. And anything God's done redounds to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, but humanly speaking, he was responsible for it. I began thinking about this night, and I thought about Abraham, who had great faith. He gave his son. I have two sons. I don't much think I would have put them on the altar and drew the knife out. I'd have been out of the ministry right there. But he had great faith. And Jacob blessed his sons when he was dying, and he gave great blessing. Moses had his Aaron and Hur. To a certain extent, I've had that with these young men for the last few years. He built the tabernacle. He taught the worship as God wanted them to have. And he gave to all of us the example of great leadership. I go and I read about Joshua and I realize what it is to be a great general, a great director of masses of people and how to win wars. I go to Samuel and I see a great prophet, a great preacher. And to Saul, I see a great bad example. By the way, there's no such thing as a failure. The worst you can do is be a good, bad example. Time to laugh. David was the greatest king this world will ever know until our Lord Jesus Christ comes to be the king. Solomon was a great builder. Paul was a great missionary. I read about Paul and I realize I'm a sissy. He went through so much. In fact, the only place I can really fellowship with Paul is when he wrote Romans chapter 7. He said, "The good that I want to do, I don't get done. And the bad that I don't want to do, I so often find myself doing it. Oh, wretched man that I am." Then he came to God with his sin, confessed it, and God forgave him, and that's what I've had to do all these years. I read about all those guys, and truth is, I don't have much in common with these men. I don't have much in common with most of the men sitting here in this auditorium. There's some great men sitting here tonight. I just don't have much. The first time I heard Dr. Raymond Barber stand up and quote Scripture for 45 minutes without opening his Bible, I wanted to quit the ministry. I thought, I'm not qualified. You know, Dr. Barber says, if you have it, flaunt it. I don't have it. But I did read a quote in a book that my son gave me for Christmas, or actually just a gift, by Gladys Allward. She was a missionary to China, and I think I could write something very similar to it about my own life. Here's what she said. She said, "I wasn't God's first choice for what I've done in China. I don't know who was. It must have been a man. A well-educated man. I don't know what happened. Perhaps he died. Perhaps he wasn't willing to go. God looked down and saw Gladys Allward and said, well, she's willing." When God called me, he didn't get a prize. When I became the president of Mount Abiram Mission Our missionaries didn't get a prize. Dr. Tom Gilmer told me, I didn't even know this, but told me just a few weeks ago that Brother McCoy had asked him to become the president of Mount of Iron Baptist Mission, and he turned him down. He's a wise man. But how does God do what He's done? We have five continents represented here tonight in this service of missionaries. Not five countries, five continents. On our missionary list, we have missionaries that get checks through Mount of Iron Baptist Mission, either from Mexico or here, from Africa, in 35 countries. 170 families. I can take no credit at all for any of that. When I became the president of the mission, there were 8 families in 2 countries. And the growth that God has given, God has done. I didn't have that as a goal. That wasn't my vision. All I wanted to do was honor God. I've got a word for you, Steve and Bill. First letter I wrote. In fact, several of you sitting here tonight received it. I said, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. The most important thing I've done in my life is to be a servant. When I've been lifted up in pride, I've done nothing but fail. Young men, Steve and Bill, pride and lust and greed have destroyed greater men than any of us. You'll have to work more 20-hour days than 8-hour days, as I did. I can't do that now. I had a heart attack last June, and I almost got to see Jesus. But He's allowed me to be here tonight, and I'm so thankful for Him and for you and your prayers. Don't let your zeal destroy your families. You lose your kids, you lost everything. Walk with God. Give Him your best hours of your day. Give Him your best gifts. And if you'll do that, God will use you as the president and general director of Mount of Iron Baptist Mission. 20 years from now, when you look back on tonight and you see all that He's done, you'll realize that He did it, not you. That He is worthy of all praise, not you, certainly not me. Bill, I present to you the president of Mount of Iron Baptist Mission, Steve. I present to you the general director of Mount of Iron Baptist Mission. The future of this great mission work is as bright as the promises of God. He's given us 2 seasoned, well-qualified, brilliant men to fill the shoes of a dummy. And I'm so grateful for them. Both of you, ladies.